Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and we thank you for joining us for this edition of CCTA Wake Up Call. As you know, Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, also known as CCTA, is a grassroots, nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that advocates for minimum government and maximum freedom. We are dedicated to preservation of free enterprise and the United States Constitution. And we believe that excessive taxation upon citizens is unconstitutional, immoral, and a complete contradiction of success through the free market system. We are dedicated to serve our community, our state, and our country by oversight, research, public education, and advocacy in the legislative, executive, and judicial branches of government. And that's what CCTA is all about, and that's why we bring you this radio show. Folks, our country is in dire situation. There's a lot of false information being put out by mainstream media. You're being lied to on a regular basis by your government, by your news outlets on mainstream. Corporate America, big tech, they all have bought into the lies. And unless you go looking for the truth, you're not going to be exposed to the truth. So we're trying to give you some of that information and give you the information you need to be a informed citizen. And one of the things we encourage you to do is to know who you're voting for and to be involved in the election process. And one of the best ways we know to help inform you is to bring you the latest information we could find on the upcoming 22 elections and the voting process. Now, our show today was recorded at our public meeting on Tuesday evening. Our guest speaker was the Director of Elections for Craven County, Ms. Melanie Ray. And we had asked Melanie to come in and give us the latest updates on changes to the 22 election. And, you know, there's been a lot of hanky-panky going on out there, trying to muck things up and confuse people as much as possible with redistricting and changing the voting lines so that people now are in different districts than they were before. We've lost some of our representatives that we have been used to working with to other districts now because when they redrew the maps, they had to move into other districts. So I personally am in a new district as far as here in Craven County for school board. And I had run for school board in the district I was in. Now I'm in a different district. So we'll see what happens. Folks, like I said, there's a lot of stuff going on out there that is messing with the elections. There are the same old voices that are hollering about voter ID and how it would keep people from being able to vote. And we all know that's not true, but it's a narrative that they've been espousing over the years, and they're continuing to do that. And even though the majority of the people in North Carolina overwhelmingly voted for a voter ID constitutional amendment, by the way, it has been held up in the court system and is still held up in the court system. So Melanie will speak to that issue later on. And also, the primary dates have been changed. Everything about the election just about's been changed. So we think you'll enjoy getting the latest information here from Melanie Ray. And without further delay, let's see what Melanie has to say.
Well, I can tell you what is currently happening today, but as Rick mentioned, tomorrow the North Carolina legislature will be voting to possibly move the primary to June. It originally was March, then May, and may be moved to June now. What does that mean? I really don't know, and I'm one that doesn't like to not know. But right now, the filing is to resume February 24th through March 4th, That could change. If it's moved to June, I'm hoping that will not be changed, but I don't have any control over that. But right now, that's what we have on our website. And of course, as soon as I got mine all updated, I'm probably going to have to redo it all again. We do have over 20 people that's already filed for office in North Carolina and locally. Those filings will hold. They do not have to refile. They can withdraw their candidacy and then refile if they want to do that, but I don't see that they would. We have had inquiries on people changing parties to run under a different party. That they cannot do, because if you have to be registered in the party for 90 days from the date that you file. So if filing stays February to March, the 90 days would have been in December. So they would have had to change party by December. Now, if by chance they move it to May or something, there's a very brief 90 day from that, but we'll just have to wait and see. From what I understand, though, that they're just right now looking at moving the primary date, which means my staff, we don't have our summer vacation at all now. But that's the nature of elections, especially in North Carolina. I think the longest that a primary has gone, I believe, was August. And if I'm right, that was 2006, maybe. There was one that has gone this long, July or August. So it will not take away the November election. That, from what I understand, has never been moved. So you have to have a primary to elect your party candidate for the November ballot. But they might knock off second primaries, which means if you're under a certain 10,000 votes for a state one, or 1%, or you don't get 50 plus one, your opportunity to request a second primary may be denied because of the time limit. So they may just say it's the new primary may just be plurality, which is 50 plus one. So those are things that they're supposed to be settling tomorrow or voting on tomorrow. And who knows, I'm hoping it's going to be tomorrow. I hope that they don't get up there and decide to delay it. But that's all that I know. As far as the redistricting, I don't know when that's going to be decided. One of the reasons they're delaying or looking at delaying is to give the Supreme Court time to rule on the redistricting. So basically, what is holding up the elections is the U.S. congressional maps and the North Carolina legislative maps. That's what's holding it up. Yes, there's local. There are lawsuits filed by the sheriff's organizations and the clerk's organizations and the register of deeds organizations to file a lawsuit that their filings go ahead and resume and that they have a different election to go ahead and have their election. I can understand why the legislator wants to keep it together. Number one's cost. And personally, I don't want to do one election and turn right around and do another one. If I have to, I will, but that's going to be really hard on us because it takes us a good year to get prepared. We've had small windows before, and we do an excellent job, but it is the more time we have, the better we can prepare. We are supposed to start mailing ballots on March 28th. But that's probably not going to happen now. So if they move the filing, especially. We are taking absentee ballot requests already. There is a link on cravenvote.com, which is the web page that you can go to my page on the county web. It's a direct link to that under absentee voting, absentee and one-stop voting. It's also under what is on my ballot. I have it several places on there. It is a fillable form if you want to type it, or you can print one. You still have to print them. You still have to sign them, and you still have to turn them in. The rules are it is turned in by you, the voter, or a near relative, or the MAT team. But the MAT teams only go to the nursing home facilities. So those rules are still in place. There will be a portal on the North Carolina State Board website where you can do it all online and send it through a portal, but it's of course not up yet until they decide when the date's going to be. But you can go ahead and start using the absentee ballot request form and give them to us, and we will hold them until we can start entering them into the system. January 1 is when you can start turning those in. Military, theirs only are good for a year, so we usually start in January getting a lot of the military ones as well. Most rules are still in place. No voter ID. We're still not doing that. You just have to still state your name and address. And if you in the primary, you will have to state your party. Unaffiliated voters can vote. They just have to state a party's ballot that they wish to vote on, which will be either Democrat, Republican, or Libertarian, or the unaffiliated, which if only going to have now would be City of New Bern if they're in the City of New Bern. Their elections will follow the primary schedule because of the delay of their election from 2021 to 2022. And they don't have any control over that either to move it or get it going as well. They do election runoff, so they would have to figure out if they have to have a runoff what that date would be unless the legislature states it for them. But there's lots of questions in the air. Like I said, every time I go somewhere, I say currently because I know it can change. It's very frustrating. Those that know me can tell by the look on my face, it's very frustrating, and it does seem to get more frustrating every year. It's not clear cut anymore. It used to be for hundreds of years, and then now all of a sudden it's not. But I do work at the will of the laws and the state board, and I can tell you in Craven County, we'll get it done, and we'll get it done to the best of our ability. Anytime you have questions, you know, you can call the Board of Elections office, ask for me, and I usually take phone calls. I usually take emails. I even give my cell phone number out. If you have my old cell phone number, which was a 704 number, don't use that one anymore. That's now my personal only. I do have a business cell phone now, but I couldn't tell you what the number is. It's on the card. It's a 252 number, that's all. But it's on my webpage and everything else. And so I do finally have a business after being here 8 years, a business cell phone. Why? Just to let you know, as far as security on our systems now, the State Board of Election has gone to an iCloud server. What that means is when we get on the iCloud state server, we have to first sign on with a username, then a password, then it texts us a verification, then we enter the verification, and that just gets us into the server. Then we have 12 modules that we can get into, have to do the same process, and also it times out every 30 minutes. So we're constantly verification, so that's one reason I got a business phone, because I didn't want 40 verification codes on my personal cell phone. But they say it's more secure. It is, and you know, it may or may not be. I don't know that much about the iCloud, but if you do call and I haven't been on my computer for 30 minutes, we'll get your number and call you back, because it does take me sometimes anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour to get signed on, because this is, you're talking 100 counties and thousands of workers trying to get on at one time. We have complained about it, and if you know me, I'm very vocal. I've sent many, many help tickets and screenshots and things like that, but right now that's what it is. If you're tech savvy, it's called the Windows Azure verification is what we go through. But it's not quick information unless you're constantly have the file open, and I don't constantly have it open. Before, we could leave it open all day and then close it at the end of the day. But we can't do that anymore. But they did improve it. We did have a 15-minute timeout. They at least did it to 30, because we all complained about that. But it's not that I'm complaining. It's just very hard for us and me, especially when I like to give people quick answers. I don't like to have to tell somebody I'll call you back. And we've already seen that. We've had people come in the office, and we've had to get their contact numbers to tell them we'll call them back. So I don't like that, but it's the best that we can do right now with what we have. They are constantly improving it more and more as they get into it. Unfortunately, if my staff tells you we need to get your number and call you back, that's a true statement. We need to get your number, and we'll call you back when we find the answers out. My problem now is remembering to call you back. If I didn't write it down, I'm to that part now in my life. I got to write it down. Our website is full of all kinds of information. We try to keep it update as much as possible. If you're interested in voter roll lists, we put a voter roll list out on our webpage in Excel format around before the 15th of every month. So if you're a data person and you want to look up your precinct, you can download that and you can sort it by whatever way you want to sort it, commissioners, wards, districts, precinct, party, gender, whatever. You can download it and do those reports yourself, or you can send us an email and or come to the office and fill out a data request, and we can give you a report with just about any information that you need. If you're wanting maps, the best thing we can tell you to do is go to the GIS mapping department, which is there where tax collections and registered deeds is located, and ask them to print you a map. It is a charge. I don't know how much they charge, but we do have maps on our webpage, but they're little. They're 8.5 by 11 if you print them. But if you need bigger maps, he can do a section of a neighborhood or whatever you need, so they can pretty much help you that way as well. I know a lot of the chairs of some of the precincts are asking for those type things and lists of their precincts and those type of things. Also, if you give us a data request, make it as specific as possible because we have so much information. If you just say a list, we're going to give you probably way too much information. Be more specific, or we're going to call you and ask you exactly what you want. But again, we do like that in email or in written on the data request, because we do have to keep a book of all data requests, because we do get data requests for how many data requests that we received and who from and all those kind of things. In our world today, just about, it is all public information. But we're getting more and more and more data requests as we go along, and that's sometimes hard to keep up with as well. But usually the state board will handle most of those, but if it's specific to a county, we try to get ours turned around as quickly as possible. Now, we say 10 days, but usually you get it way before 10 days. Sometimes right after you ask for it, we'll send it. If you ask for it by email, it's free. But if you want it printed, it is 5 cents a page. In other words, it's 5 cents a piece of paper. If it's back in front, it's still just 5 cents.
Okay, we're going to interrupt Melanie here so we can hear a few words from our sponsors, and we'll come right back and pick up where we left off.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you. a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, once again, we're hearing from Melanie Ray, Director of Elections in Craven County, giving us an update on what to expect for the 2022 elections. Let's get back to Melanie.
I don't have any of the voter guides ready because they keep changing everything. And I know Rick and some other people get those voter guides that I do for every election, which has a lot of information in it, quick information, your three ways to vote, which are what? What's the three ways to vote in North Carolina? Early voting, which is one stop, absentee by mail, election day. Yeah, so you have three choices. Absentee by mail has become a lot more popular since the presidential election, and we handled it and we did it well. So I hope it doesn't go to that totally, but because I like early voting, I do like the opportunity for early voting as well, because you can go to any location that's open. We will have four locations open, that I can say, when the early voting will be. One will be at the main office, of course. One will be in Cove City, where it always is, fire department. One will be in Vanceboro, where it always is at the fire department, and one will be in Havelock. We don't know yet where in Havelock, but we will have one in Havelock. We're hoping to that has to be settled on our next meeting on February 5th. Which our meetings are open to the public. And we also have a link on the webpage if you want to watch it on Microsoft Teams or Zoom, but we don't use Zoom, we use Microsoft Teams. So you also can watch it while you're at home. Our board decided to stick with that during the COVID. We had to do it that way, but we have decided to do that going forward. So it's also live streamed as well. Our meetings don't last very long. You know, they don't, but if you want to see the process, it is a public meeting and you're welcome to be there and see what goes on, or now you can see it from your home. We sent out voter cards in December showing the new redistricting. As we know, currently the U.S. Congressional went to District 1. The Senate went to 3, from 2 to 3. The House went from 3 to 79 to 3 and 13. 13's in the bottom part of Havelock-Harlow area. Those could change. The commissioners redrew their maps. The school boards redrew their maps. And the New Bern wards redrew their maps. Didn't affect everybody, but our board decided, because the numbers changed on everything else, we did send every active voter a brand new voter card. So hopefully you got yours. You don't need it to vote. It's just something to tell you what your home precinct is if you vote on election day, and what the jurisdictions are on what you're eligible to vote in. We have all that on computer. We do get a lot of them back. When you get a voter card, you're supposed to keep it. Don't sign it and send it back to us. Only if you have changes. And if you do have changes, that's the easy way to change it instead of having to fill out a new voter registration form. But there is a second type of card. If we got it back undeliverable or with a forwarding address, we sent out another card, and it's called a confirmation card. You may have got one of those if you've changed your address in the last year. We also partner with the National Change of Address with the Post Office. We just sent those out in January. A confirmation card you do have to send back. You have 30 days to send it back. It says, we have box A address, the post office has box B address, which one's correct? So you have to tell us which one's correct. If that does not come back, or if we get a voter card back undeliverable twice, it does throw you in inactive status, which means when you go to vote, you have to verify your address verbally. You don't have to show anything, but you verbally have to verify your address and your mailing address. Inactive basically means we sent you something, it came back, so your mailing address is wrong. Something's wrong with your mailing address. And it could be simple. You forgot to tell us of your post office box, or you had a post office box and didn't tell us you didn't have it anymore, and we continued to send it to your post office box. So there's several reasons why someone would go inactive. We have about, the last time, around 60,000 active voters, which about 8,000 or so inactive voters. So, and it takes, if we don't have any communication with them, it takes about 8 years for them to go through 2 federal elections and get off the system. That's if we have no contact with them at all. As far as removing voters, the only way you can remove a voter is if you, the voter, tell us to remove you in writing with the signature, or you move and you told that Board of Elections to send us a note and tell us you have registered there, or someone is deceased. If they pass away in Craven County, we get a copy of the death certificate from the Register of Deeds. But if it was not in Craven County, we may not know, so then a near relative can tell us. There is a report that we do across North Carolina, but like I said, it's usually about 3 months behind, but it's only North Carolina deaths. Also felonies, we still do those every month as well with the deaths and the duplicates. Duplicates are if you're registered in 2 counties in North Carolina, we get a report, not other states. The state board does partner with several states, but usually they don't check those until after elections if someone's voted twice or something like that. But we have checks and balances in place, but usually if it's outside of the state or outside of the county, it is best if you have moved or your loved one has passed just to check with us to see if we have them removed. Some of the other counties sometimes will send us death certificates, but not all counties do. So, but we have that list, which is about 3 months behind, but we do check it every month. But I cannot remove a voter because someone else tells me. So I can't do that, because you wouldn't want someone saying, telling somebody on you. But those are the only ways we can remove a voter. Voters can be challenged. Their residence addresses can be challenged, but you have to have evidence that they don't live there anymore, and the burden would be on you to prove it. We have very few of these. If you live at an address and you've been on neighborhood post or whatever that little neighborhood thing's called, you've been seeing a lot about checking your voter registration to see if more than one person is registered with your address. Where that started from, I believe, was in Raleigh. And what happened is, as you know, if you've ever used the data site, if you check all or you check current and removed, you're going to see everybody that's in North Carolina at that address who was registered with that address, which is more than the active people. So we've had lots of calls. Because these little ladies went around and knocked on doors and said, this many people's registered at your addresses and stuff like that, but it was people who had lived there previously and were removed, and it became a big, big thing. Luckily, I had some correspondence with some people with email, which assured them that we only have the active people there. But if you ever moved into a new home and someone lived there before and you want to make sure that they're off the rolls, you call us. If they're not off the rolls, we can initiate a confirmation card to be sent to them and start the process to at least get them inactive. So, but most of the time in those cases, we know. If you continue to get cards, if you get a card mailed to your home and it's to a person other than you, put it back in the mail. Return to sender. Does not live here. Don't forward it on to them, because we assume they got it if we didn't get it back. Always put it back in the mail, and don't bring it to us either, because we're going to tell you you've got to drop it in the mail for our processing to work correctly. So always write return to sender, does not live here, if you get something in the mail that does not belong to you that's voter related.
Okay, so that was the end of Melanie Ray's presentation, and now we went to a question and answer session. But we need to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back after that with the Q&A.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, that was our presentation from Melanie Ray, and we have now moved on to the question and answer session. So let's get back to Melanie Ray, Director of Elections in Craven County.
Melanie, you mentioned voter ID would not be here for this election. Why not?
Because the courts have struck it down.
Okay, and is there any chance that that will be settled? And if it is settled, do you have time to implement it?
There are still lawsuits in the works still on voter ID. Again, anything could happen. We have seen sometimes laws be enacted the day before an election, so anything could happen. Back in 2016, there was some lawsuits about DMV information on whether people registered at DMV or not. The Monday before the election, the courts came down that we had to have a document. We called it the yellow form because we put it on yellow paper, that they had to fill out if they registered with the DMV or thought they registered with the DMV for their provisional ballots to count. We had to initiate that on the Monday night and get it out by the next morning or as early as we could on election day. So anything can happen with the government. If, as you know, if we're made to implement ID or not implement ID, we'll do the best that we can do to it. So anything could happen.
I guess that was the main part of my question was if they did come back with a ruling, would you have time to implement it?
We would have to. Hopefully the state board would turn on the switch that we could scan voter IDs like we did in June 2016 and find people like that with the North Carolina driver's license. It's just a matter of turning that switch on. So hopefully that's what they would do. But if they didn't, we would definitely do the best that we could and get the information out there.
Okay, you did not mention drop boxes. Are there or are there not drop boxes?
There are not drop boxes for absentee ballots. Or we don't have a drop box for registrations either. The reason there is not drop boxes in North Carolina because only certain people can return your absentee by mail ballot. You or a near relative or a MAT member. And that's even in the mail. Now, I don't know how I'm going to know who dropped it in the mail, but that's also the rules. So if we had drop boxes, we would not know who put the ballot in the drop box.
All right. Equipment. Now, you mentioned the server change in Raleigh. As far as our local voting equipment, are there any changes there?
There is. The AutoMark, which was our ADA equipment, but any voter could use it. It was one where you put the ballot in, and it read to you the ballot, and you picked your candidate, and it basically colored in your ovals for you. That machine has been upgraded. It's now, called the Express Vote. It's a little bit smaller. It does the same thing, but it's going to see a huge difference in it. Our normal ballots are about 11 by 14, usually, or 8 and a half by 14, whatever. They're long ballots. But to use the Express Vote, it's a little piece of paper about like that. We've got to work out how we're going to, when you check in and sign in, especially early voting, when you check in, you go to the ballot station, it automatically prints your ballot. So what we're going to do is if you decide to use the Express Vote, we will take that ballot that you were given and select the ballot for you and void the one that printed because it's a little piece of paper. And you will stick that piece of paper in there. You will read through the ballot, and it will only print out the choices that you made. So it does not look like the ballot, but it will have the names of the people that you chose. And it will go into our tabulators just like the other ones. So there will be a difference there. This will be the first election that we've used those, but they've been real successful. Mecklenburg County uses it for all of their voting equipment. But this will be the first one that we use that for. And that didn't come out of any funds from Craven County. We got grant money for that. So.
All right. Verifying registration. You mentioned that the cards that went out, suppose somebody overlooked a card, didn't get a card, whatever, and they want to verify their registration. What's the simplest way for them to do that?
The simplest way is for you to go to cravenvote.com and do check your voter registration. Click that and check your registration yourself, but follow the instructions on how you have to put the information in. But if you can't do that or you're not computer savvy, you can always call us and we'll tell you what we got.
All right, and you mentioned the three ways to vote, and that was election day, mail-in, or vote by mail, and early voting.
Yeah.
At the election day, one of the options would be curbside voting. Could you explain that process and what regulates that?
Curbside voting. Curbside voting is mandated or by law that you have to be by age or physical disability not able to walk into the voting enclosure. That's what the law says. And you do sign a affidavit stating that. We cannot ask you your age or your disability. We will walk up to the car in the designated area and we will say, curbside voting is due to law, age, or disability. Will you be able to sign this affidavit? And we read it to you. And if you say yes and you sign it, we serve you in the car. If you say no, we don't serve you in the car. So if you're the driver and you can't sign it, then you need to make arrangements to come vote in person. You can't get out of the car or in the car during curbside area because, number one, it'll block traffic. Number two, it's not safe. And that's some of the biggest arguments, is the driver wanting to vote in the car too. But you can, as long as you sign the affidavit. But you do have to sign the affidavit to be able to get a ballot in the car. And the curbside voting is also protected by the 50-foot buffer zones as well from the candidates.
All right. Is there any way anybody can challenge that? Let's say I was down here at a restaurant eating before I went to the polls. And when I got to the polls, I saw somebody that was also at the restaurant eating who walked out, got in their car, and then drove down and got in line for curbside. Can I file a complaint, or?
There's really no legal way to challenge a curbside voter. Number one, not all disabilities are seen, and you can't ask them what their disability is.
All right. Okay, workers, how large a staff do you have?
Day-to-day functions, it's me and two full-times. I have three part-times that we use occasionally throughout the year, and especially during election times. When I say election times, it's usually a three-month period. It's the month of the election, and then the 2 months prior. That's a three-month period is usually our election time. So I usually have a couple more at that time. So at any given time during election, I could have about six people in the office. But day-to-day, it's me and two other full-time people.
Okay, and then you have volunteers. How are your volunteers staffing up for this election? Are you?
I can't have volunteers. We have to be paid.
Okay, yeah. They're not full-time as well.
No. Okay. Precinct officials are considered part-time employees if they work early voting. You do get paid $10 an hour for early voting. Election day officials do get paid based on the type of work that they do. The parties, the Republican Party and Democrat parties, give us recommendations for the chief judge, who's the manager of the precinct, and the two judges. One has to be Democrat, one has to be Republican. The chief judge can be either Democrat or Republican. Customarily, we try to go with what the governor is, but in some cases, we can't do that, so we recommend the other party. So we currently have Republicans and Democrats as chief judge in our county. Right now, we only have two that we need to fill, one chief judge and one judge, two judges. Two of them due to them passing on this year, and the other one, we still haven't found one. But they're Democrats, they're not Republicans. So if you're Democrat and you're interested in being a chief judge or a judge, get in touch with me or your party chair. And even Republican, too, get in touch with your party chair, or you can get in touch with us. We do have an application you have to fill out, and we can get it to you. As far as assistants, which are election day workers only, we usually start getting those about 2 months before the election, and they get paid $150 a day, and then they get paid for training as well. All the officials have to be training before every election. So if case laws and things change, but they get paid for this work. And if we have lots of elections, it throws some of them in bigger tax brackets, but usually it keeps you under $600. But we just can't have volunteers, so our people are paid. And I think we pay very, very comparable to other counties as well. But it's a long day. We don't do shift work. So you're talking 12 hours or more a day. So you don't have to stand the whole time, but there is always something to do. If you can't stand, there's things you can do and sit and do. So we can accommodate just about anybody that we can use. And we're always needing bodies. It doesn't always mean that if you filled out an application, we might call you, because certain areas need a lot more people. We do have a lot of deficiencies in the Dover, Cova City area. We sometimes have a hard time finding people up in those areas to work, but we ask people to travel to those. The minimum number that we can have to have a precinct open is three people, the chief judge and the two judges. Has that happened? Yes, it has. 2014, we had Truitt open with just three officials. Since then, we don't open Truitt anymore. We merged them with Ernal there at Shanghai Fire Department, the little Little Swift Creek Fire Department. But we can run a precinct with three people. So the good thing about early voting, it's becoming more popular. So election day is not quite the lines that we used to have back in the day. So that helps in those situations. But we do like to have the chief judge and the two judges and at least four or five extra assistants at every precinct. So.
Okay, yeah, my mistake on the volunteers. I meant they're not permanent employees. You only get them here. My whole purpose was to find out if you're getting enough people coming in to.
We do, and when we don't have enough people, we'll start recruiting more. But 2020, we got a lot of names, and some of those we've retained. But we'll start putting out flyers and stuff if we need more in certain areas. So.
Okay, well, let's jump to poll watchers. What is their role in the process there?
Okay, North Carolina, they're called observers. They're the ones that the parties have to give us a list of names. There's two types. One is a regular observer, which the party will assign you four-hour increments at certain precincts or one-stop sites. You have to go at those appointed times. If you don't stay 4 hours, and you leave, you can't come back and finish your 4 hours, and you can't be replaced. So it's a schedule thing. But there's also what's called at-large observers. The parties each get 10. And that's usually what the parties are doing now, is doing a lot of the at-large, because they can come and go as long, in and out, and go to all the precincts, and they're not on a stringent schedule like the regular observers are. But your parties know all about these. They get training materials from me that I will provide to them with the current rules and regulations about what a election day looks like. The main purpose of these in the past was you had a list of voters at that precinct, and the voter has to repeat their name and address and party in a primary so you can hear it, where you would mark off their names, and then a runner would come in and get your list, and they would go call people and get them to the polls. That was the original intent of the observer. It has gotten nowadays that the observers are trying to look for things that shouldn't be going on. So you can't talk. You have to sit there and be silent. So there are stringent rules for that, but we've had some great, great observers. We've recruited several to be precinct officials. And the parties do those, but the parties don't pay you for that, but they are allowed. And so you check with your parties on that, because they will, if you're interested in that, they'll be glad to have you on their list. So.
Okay, that was all the questions I had for Melanie Ray. After we have a short break to hear from our sponsors, we'll come back and take a couple of questions from the audience.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think E70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Bern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, as we always do at these public meetings, after the speaker gives their presentation, we allow the audience to ask questions. So we'll go now to our audience participation part of the program.
I would like some clarification
on the new voting thing that you said. Is it my understanding that there will be no paper ballot then, that it's going to be turning into a computerized vote?
No.
So there will be a
paper. It's all paper ballot. It's okay. All on paper.
So the last election, we had a lot of allegations of internet fraud. Are these connected via modem?
Nope.
Any place for hacking?
Nope. It's plugged in the wall with the outlet. That's it. I don't do any internet connection. The only internet connection that we do, when the results, it's on a flash drive. Every DS200, that's the tabulator, has a flash drive. Election night, they come to me first. We have a runner bring them, and we start uploading them into what we used to call it the Unity machine, but now it's not that. We call it the standalone. It's over here by itself, not hooked to the internet. I can't even have the printer hooked to the internet. We download the results as they come in. We usually do about five or six precincts at a time. And I put those results on a flash drive. Then I take that flash drive and take it to my main computer, which is hooked to the internet. Upload it. I don't use that flash drive again. I put it in a sealed envelope and do it import number one or whatever was on it. Second time we start download, I have to get a brand new flash drive. So I cannot contaminate from taking one from my internet computer back to the standalone. Those are our rules. We go through about six flash drives on election night, and we have to keep them in sealed envelopes.
Where does it go on your flash drive when you put it on the one that's connected to the internet? Does it go?
It goes on the web page and on the state board web page where people can see the results.
You don't go to Raleigh or nowhere?
Yeah, it does.
It does go to Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Nobody can monkey with it like that?
Nope, not unless they get on my computer. But
okay.
Not really, no. I'm not going to say nothing, so never know on the internet, but we have paper trails. I probably keep more paper than a lot of directors do, but I run a report every time I do a download or upload, whichever one you want to call it, so, and I check it. Before I make it go live, I make sure it matches my reports.
Hi, Melanie.
Hey.
I presume a signature is required for mail-in ballots?
Yes.
Okay. Who verifies the signatures?
We don't.
Okay.
All we do is check to see it's the voter's signature. We used to kind of glance at the signature. And if it looked way different, we would get clarification. But we cannot verify signatures anymore, but they have to have a signature. And they have to have two witness signatures this year. It's back to the two witness or the one notary.
All right.
Well, Melanie, thank you so much for your time. As usual, you did an outstanding job. Anybody have any doubts that she knows her job? Thank you, Melanie. All right, I hope y'all enjoyed that and got some good information. Melanie and her staff are always available to help you. When you're dealing in the political world, you deal with all kinds of people. But over the years in working with Craven County Board of Elections since Melanie's been here, I have not run into the first problem. I've not had any problems getting the information I needed. Of course, she did put me to work as a judge. So. But her staff is just as knowledgeable and helpful as she is. So we're fortunate to have the people we have at Craven County Board of Elections. Okay, well, that concludes the program that we had on Tuesday night. So remember when Melanie's talking about votes that will take place tomorrow, that would have been Thursday. So those votes have already taken place, and we'll update you on the outcome of those votes in the near future. So let's talk about next month's public meeting, and that would be the third Tuesday of February, which would be the 15th. We hold all our public meetings downtown at Stanley Hall Ballroom in New Bern at 7 p.m., and they are free. They are open to the public, and all are invited, so we encourage you to come out and join us. The planned discussion for February will be a presentation by members of our education committee that have attended school board meetings and work with the school system, trying to get information and share with you on our local education. And this one is a review of the Making Proud Choices teaching guide and some other program related school curriculum documents that will be presented by Alan Harrop, Mary Harrop, and Glenn Fink from the CCTA Education Committee. Making Proud Choices is a federally funded, through North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, Division of Public Health. The curriculum is provided by the Center of Health and Policy and Inequities Research at Duke University. Making Proud Choices is designed to provide young adolescents with the knowledge, confidence, and skills necessary to reduce their risk of sexually transmitted infections and teen pregnancy by abstaining from sex or using condoms and contraception. Alan, Mary, and Glenn will discuss how the curriculum handles topics like parents' role in sex education, LGBTQ+, and abstinence, and we hope you'll come out and join us for that.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.